that's kind of the story there.
Okay, thank you. Public hearing, any comments from the public on this item? Okay, hearing none. Now a motion, please.
Move to approve resolution number 10-24-1879.
Second. Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Morrison. Discussion. Assemblymember Dalrymple.
I don't know if this is administratively appropriate, but I would like to offer an amendment to separate these two out and have a vote on them separately. Very different proposals. One's for an increase, one's for a decrease.
Right. I wonder if, and I've seen this done before, if we can do two amendments and discuss one aspect of the resolution and then the other.
Right, so okay. If you want to propose an amendment for the fee schedule, then that would be considered and dealt with, and then there could be another amendment
right.
needed. Or, but to separate them out, we can't do that. It would have to, because there's just one resolution. We don't have another resolution on the floor, so basically, yeah, if we were to do two separate resolutions, we would have to postpone this and bring it back at another meeting.
But we can do two separate amendments on the same document. So,
got a little lost there. If I could, just clarification. I intend to vote against one of these, and I intend to vote for one of them.
Okay, so let's take
the...
I know how to do it. I've done this before. Which aspect are you thinking of voting for? I'd like to take care of that one first.
The sewer one.
Okay.
I have some questions, but I'm supportive of that.
Okay. Amend the motion so that we're not talking about the whole resolution, and to the point that you only want to address the part of the resolution pertaining to sewer rates. That would work.
Can I point of clarification, Assemblymember Dalrymple, because what I'm understanding is what you're saying is no matter what, you are not going to vote for one of them.
Not as proposed here.
Right. So
there's two ways we can do it. Mm-hmm. We can tackle the resolution on the way he would vote in the affirmative and discuss that, or I guess maybe it would be better if we deal with the aspect that you're having difficulty with and see if we can strip that from the resolution. That'd probably be the cleanest.
I guess my because what I'm also understanding is that if Assemblymember Dalrymple makes a motion to amend the harbor part of it and the rest of the assembly does not agree with that amendment, then he's going to vote it down. But you know what I'm saying? So
right.
I think that probably the best thing, if it's not going to hurt anything, is to postpone this, and we should bring it back in two separate resolutions.
Okay.
That's my preference.
All right.
I didn't know I could do that or not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that would be my motion, is to separate to postpone this resolution until the next meeting and have it come back to us separate. In two separate components.
Okay. All right. So we have a motion to postpone. And time certain, you want this on the next agenda? Okay. October 22. I need a second.
Second.
Okay. Morrison seconds. Discussion on postponing this? Yes. Vice Mayor Powell.
I do have a little bit of a problem with this because we're doing it for one assembly member. All the assembly members are. So,
you can,
so do we, if right. we don't agree with it, we just vote this motion down.
Right.
If we agree with it, separate, and we vote, Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is your chance to weigh in.
Okay, so since we're going to discuss this motion, then I want to know, I'm wondering why we're going to separate them. I'm totally confused about this, to be honest with you.
Right.
What are we doing here?
Okay. They are similar in the fact that they both are reflected on the rate and fee schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But they're different because they're addressed two different departments, two different subjects. One's sewer, one's launch rates. So that's probably why. It threw me too to have both of them in on the same resolution.
Madam Mayor, if I may offer a point of clarification, it may be helpful to consider the sewer aspects, sewer rates tonight, because we are continuing to, what I feel, overcharge our partners at Trident and sea level for another month if we don't pass this. So it may be good to consider that if the problem resides with the Port and Harbor fee and rate schedule.
Okay. So going back, we have a motion on the table to postpone. If we decide to go ahead and address one half of this resolution, we can strip away the part of the resolution, if that's the decision of the body that we don't like, and have it come back to us on the next meeting. Would that would be proper?
So there's two things you can do. You can either vote the motion to postpone down, or with the consent of the assembly, we can withdraw that amendment to bring them back at the next meeting. And then Assembly Member Dalrymple can make an amendment if he wishes to remove the harbor aspect of the fee and rate schedule to be considered at the next meeting. And then basically the harbor part of the resolution would be removed, and then the fee and rate schedule part of it would not be considered until the next meeting on a separate resolution.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a motion to postpone. If you vote yes, we postpone everything. I have permission? Are you going to withdraw it?
Can I withdraw this at this time?
You can.
So it belongs to the body. So.
Right. Yeah. So I know. Yeah. So you're going to withdraw the motion. Do I have permission from the entire body to? Okay. It's withdrawn. All right. Now we have the motion.
Okay.
And to approve this document in its entirety. Now we're going to discuss.
Or you can.
And we can have another.
Or you can amend.
Amendment.
I would like to amend the motion to strip the harbor fees out of this proposal and reschedule for next session.
Okay. All right. So we have an amendment by Assembly Member Dalrymple to remove any reference to port and harbor fees from this resolution, second by Vice Mayor Powell. Any discussion?
Madam Mayor, if I may, it'd be great to get some direction from the Assembly on what we want to see, and this is the opportunity to do that on the Port Harbor fees and rates, so I can bring that back on the 22nd. So that's the appropriate time to do it.
It is right now the appropriate time while it's in our domain. So let's discuss what we're going to vote on, which is removing the harbor aspect, the launch fees. Assembly Member Dalrymple, I'll call on you first.
I'm proposing this, I guess, because this has been launch fees have been a concern of mine for quite a while. I'm reflecting not myself, but other people as well. And if you recall, I don't remember how many meetings ago, I tried to amend this to include the problem that I saw in the launch fee that was included or in addition to the slip fees, which is historically what it's been. And I withdrew that on the idea that it would come back and be considered in this. And I see no discussion about this at all. It was not even acknowledged that it was an issue. So that's number one. And I guess what I would be looking for next time, and again, this is just what I would from now on, I guess, expect when we're doing fee increases or decreases is much more accounting data on what's involved here. We dropped the slip fees by 3% maybe 2 months ago. No discussion, just we did it. And I don't know what the impact of that was. Now I'm kind of wondering, well, is that trying to claw some of that back or not? I would like to just see more financial impacts. What's the current assessments? What are the actual needs for the ramps? And what this income is going to bring in a comparative manner. And much more detail on rationale why this is being proposed rather than as it is right now. It's just that the Harbor Department liked it and they said yes. I need more than that.
Okay. Any other comments? Vice Mayor Powell?
Well, to me, there is a lot of data right here that they gave us about all over Petersburg, Ketchikan, Sitka, Juneau, Craig, Haynes, on this launch permit. I've had quite a bit of discussions with our harbor master about launch permits. It is a different facility than your moorage, okay? So you still have to use this launch permit to put your boat in the water, so you're still using that facility that is getting wear and tear, and that is why that I understood from him why we're having this launch permit and it's not free to put your boat in the water if you have an annual storage fee. And our annual storage fees are low compared to other towns anyways. And on this launch permit stuff, everybody's basically either higher or matches us. In Petersburg, you don't get no break at all. It's annual $35 no matter what. I have some ideas, but I don't know if this is the time to bring those up or if to bring those up later.
I think it's a good time. Sorry, Madam Mayor, if I may.
I think it's a good time to discuss them.
Okay, yeah. So I met informally with our harbor master about winter rates, about having boats being able to use our facilities, locals, as a winter rate. And we just threw numbers around and stuff. And because we have a lot of people that have annual moorage and their boats are out, and there's such a thing called hot berthing, which I hope everybody understands what that means. And I discussed it with him because of our daily rates and stuff, I thought were kind of high. And for that, people want to use the facilities in the wintertime. And we talked about it, and we just threw numbers out there. And someone's going to have to work out the numbers, but I mean, I threw out there $400 for 4 months. And then you get out, and we talked about that quite a bit, but it's just an income source that we don't get in the wintertime. And it's not in here or nothing because I just discussed this with our master 2 days ago. But I would like to see something if we're going to bring this back, now that we're going to vote this one down for now, I'd like to see something in there and maybe have a discussion with it, with our harbor master or Mason Ken, and talk about that for that. On the launch permit ramp things, I have to say that it, discussing it with Steve, it is a different facility. And then on the 3% thing, we didn't actually take it away, we just suspended it because we have our annual 3% every year. Is that correct? Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
And I suspended, I thought we were being proactive for it because, as everybody knows, our fishing season was disaster. Mm-hmm. And I thought we were being proactive by not submitting that 3%. I do not believe that they're trying to get that 3% back with this, because this has been discussed back and forth. And at one time, I agree with Bob, for some reason or another, without any notice to anybody, we didn't charge anybody for the ramp permit to have the annual fee or annual moorage, and then all of a sudden we put it back in without any discussion, but I don't even know how it got taken out. I no idea.
Yeah.
But it was it's always been in there, but for some reason the harbors didn't do it for a while.
Right.
So those are my ideas.
Right. And I really like the idea of we've always talked about a depreciation fund for our capital facilities, and to have that money dedicated to repair and building of new ramps if we need them. borough manager?
Just to give some additional context on the issue, so we retained $13,000 of launch fees last fiscal year. That's kind of our unaudited balance right now. That won't change. And for reference, we're looking at using the Dingell Johnson grant program to do the Shoemaker Harbor boat launch, and I can't remember what was the total cost estimate.
$980,000.
We collected $13,000 last year, so that's just a testament of us. We're always subsidizing, no matter what. In this case, and so we ain't gonna cover the cost of a $980,000 ramp through our launch fees. But if we can cover even a portion of a match relevant to that program, or things like, you know, unrelated, the harbor matching grant program. For other aspects of our harbors, that's what we should be shooting for, but we're substantially, even with these adjustments, going to be way under. We're subsidizing these activities, so okay. Just a
good to know. Assembly Member Otteson.
I think this is probably a question for Steve. How is the per launch system going to be monitored? Is it going to be monitored through the camera system, or
We hardly ever have anybody that is doing that. They normally would, like, if we have somebody visiting from out of town, they'll stop in the office and usually they're checking base with us to see what those costs are, and they'll pay up front. And then, of course, they get a receipt, and then we tell them to keep that in the window so somebody can actually see it if they're out checking the vehicle.
Yeah.
So, and they we try to check at least twice a day, once in the morning and then once in the evening time. So they're pretty proactive on looking.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a little more on what I would hope to see, and I think it'd be good to be a little more holistic about this. But Mason, what you're providing us is some of the rationale that I'm looking for. When we're going to the public, and this is a hearing, and the people read only what's in the package, all they're saying is, it's a good idea, we want to increase it. Dave, I do know, and I asked for this information on the existing. That's very useful, but it doesn't have the financials or the current compared to the new. And what this turns out to be is a 27% increase. Is that good or not? How does that weigh in or not? Because we've gone from pretty much towards the bottom to the top, except for the big cities. That's what I'm just mainly wanting is more discussion and information on that, especially on fees to the public. And I think making a case for what and how this money and why would be very powerful.
And this meeting right now is doing that, noticing the public of an impending fee increase for launching boats. Okay, we have an amendment on the table to strip away from this resolution any reference to boat launch fees. Everyone understand? All right, poll vote, please. A yes means we strip it away, a no means we consider the whole thing.
Okay, Assemblymember Dalrymple?
Yes.
Carl?
No.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Otteson?
No.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right. We're back to our main motion as amended. So that involves only the sewer issue, sewer fees. Any comment or discussion on that? Everyone understands the justification. Assemblymember Dalrymple?
Madam Mayor, just a question for the manager on that. 80%, 20%. Is there some data, or I assume with Tom doing it, he had some rationales to come up with those numbers?
Yeah, we looked at the per gallon like treatment costs from water's perspective and the wastewater's perspective, and we also looked at the overall utilization for the seafood plants, which is very high compared to even what a metered residential user would be, and kind of set reasonable standards. The other thing, and that's what the 20% accomplished, is there's also wastewater maintenance and plans that needs to be maintained for specific processors. Like Trident has some additional wastewater scope that needs to be accounted for. And so I think this also provides coverage over that. A little bit of it is a reasonability test, because you don't know specifically what the 20% is going to realize over the summer months, but we think it's fair, and they've agreed to it in our discussions.
Assemblymember Dalrymple?
I just have a comment. I guess I didn't realize it. I was very happy to see and understand that the process and uses salt water so much. Because I always thought that, you know, that we always were getting into water squeezes during the high capacity season because of the freshwater use. So I'm really happy to hear that they've transitioned.
Yeah, that's been a really great
thing. And they've been doing that for several years. Mm-hmm. I think especially after we were hit with a low water volume a couple years back. Mm-hmm. All right, any other discussion? Everyone understand we're voting on the main motion as amended. Okay, poll vote please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item B, ordinance number 1066 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 3.52.045, regular meetings in chapter 3.52, Parks and Recreation Board, to amend the meeting requirements in the Wrangell Municipal Code. This is a public hearing. We'll have an administrative report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is a simple housekeeping item. We've already heard the first reading of Ordinance 1066. This is converting monthly meetings into quarterly meetings for the Park and Rec Advisory Board.
Okay. Any comment from the public? Okay. Hearing none. I'll entertain a motion. Close the public hearing and
move to approve Ordinance Number 1066.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Assemblymember Morrison. Second by Audison. Discussion. It's a housekeeping item. Many of our boards are going to quarterly meetings. All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members to board?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison? Audison?
Yes. Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. There's no unfinished business, so we'll move to item 13A under new business, resolution number 10-24-1880. Of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the sale of the 103-foot boat Lady Gundy in conformance with Wrangell Municipal Code Section 14.13.035, sale of impounded vessels, and Section 5.10.061, disposal of surplus property and the surplus administration policies and procedures.
Move to approve resolution number 10-24-1880.
Second.
Okay, motion by Vice Mayor Powell, second by Assemblymember Robbins. Administrative report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm going to invite the Port Harbor Director to come up to the stage here to give you guys the details on this one. It's rather complicated.
It's a little convoluted.
Well, let's just say that in March we were notified that Marine Services lenders, who were the ones who marshaled the boat to begin with, were no longer going to be responsible for the Lady Gundy. So we started our procedures to do the impoundment after making an effort to try to contact Peter Pan Seafoods. We never got any response back from them, so we moved forward with the impound process to get us to where we're at today, which just gives us the authority to be able to dispose of the property. And that's pretty much it.
Okay, and for the public, a minimum bid is?
$6,000.
Yeah, $6,000 something.
$6,800.
$6,685.90.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Questions? Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, it's either to Steve or Mason. Number one, I'm really happy that we're getting ahead of these things, that this is wonderful to see this. I don't know how it'll play out, but I get back to why are we always kind of behind the ball and stuff. And it would seem to me, and I'm totally naive on this, but it would seem to me that a owner, and to me it might have been this marine lender service, would be responsible for this boat. And all of a sudden they're not, and it's our problem. But is there, and I guess I'm looking for solutions in the future to somehow legally get ahead of this. I just don't see how you can just kind of walk away from a boat. I've always wondered that. How can that be? And just not have any responsibilities.
Well, we've dealt with it before.
No.
And we've spent a lot of time and effort and attorney fees trying to chase after the owner, and could never catch him. I can remember one not in the not-too-distant past we never caught up with. So
I can answer portions of the question, then maybe Steve can kind of fill in the gaps, but Marine Service Lenders is really kind of acting as an intermediary to make the payments, and so they weren't exactly the owner. You have, you know, a boat owner, and then Peter Pan Seafoods, which is also a co-signer. They went bankrupt, and now they owe the city and borough of Wrangell mortgage and haul-out fees. We've then impounded the boat, and they're at a place where we have to recoup those. And it's kind of unfortunate because you have a bankrupt company and the foreclosure on the owner.
Thank you. I didn't realize they were bankrupt.
Yeah.
Okay. Assemblymember DeBoard.
A couple questions, and I'm going to reiterate what Bob said. I just don't understand how you can just walk away. The other issue I've heard, and I'm ignorant on this too, so please enlighten me, is I've heard that it takes years to take these boats back, and that's always been the issue. Is by the time we took control of it, it was years and years. But this, I know we were just notified in May, and now we're talking here in October that we're getting rid of it. So that's a pretty quick process to me. And then last concern is are we going to sell this thing for $6,000 to somebody and then be right back in the same boat, pun intended, with, is it a derelict vessel? Is it something we don't even want in the harbors? And would it be better to just work with our partners out at the scrapyard and scrap the thing? So couple questions there.
Yeah. So basically that's what you'll be voting on. So if you give us permission to dispose of this thing, we do not necessarily have to go to auction with it either. We can call him and tell him to come get it. So
okay. I would like if we could really look at that option first. Is it a seaworthy boat, or is it?
There are some good things that could be, that are on it. It's got a newer engine in it. It's got some Miller welders that are fairly new on deck that are worth some money. But other than that, it's a pretty rough boat.
So I guess my question is it better use as scrap or take the chance of being stuck in the harbor again? It's because we're worried about these big boats sinking, right?
Right.
Taking everything out.
One thing that we could put in the terms of the sale is that it never moored in Wrangell after it's been sold. So we have some options.
Okay.
And you do have the option to refuse moorage to suspect vessels. Yeah. So as I understand it, the option is to try to put it on the market first for a limited amount of time and then maybe try to recoup our losses.
Yeah, I mean, even that scrap, it should be worth something to somebody. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's a pretty low bid, I would think, for something that weighs as much scrap steel, or it would pay for it, so it has to.
Yeah, minimum bid. Okay. Questions? Are you ready to vote, Assembly? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Lawson?
Yes.
Durable?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Mayor
yes. Thank you. Item B, resolution number 10-24-1881 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, accepting a grant in the amount of $95,127 from the Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission for the purpose of receiving funds due to income loss from the 2020-2021 statewide salmon disaster.
Move to approve resolution number 10-24-1881.
Second. Okay, motion by Otteson, second by Morrison. administrative report on this.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So in addition to the individual relief applications that were in effect facilitated through the Economic Development Office, that was really great that they were doing that. There's also a public relief for the 2020-2021 salmon disaster and 2021 season. And so we received $95,000 from the Pacific State Marine Fisheries Commission. There is no allowable expenses dictated in that grant award and relief amount, so we feel it's best to throw it in the Ports and Harbors fund.
Sounds good. All right. Questions, comments, assembly? Okay. Hearing none. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Toddison?
Yes.
Davenport?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. And we do thank the Economic Development Department for facilitating this for the public, for our fishermen. Item C, resolution number 1024-1882 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for an addition to the union wage and grade table, amending the facility maintenance specialist position, and providing for an effective date.
Move to approve resolution number 10-24-1882.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Odison. Another housekeeping item.
Yep, thank you, Madam Mayor. Real quick housekeeping item. In our appendix B1 through 3, which is the union wage and grade table in the CBA, we conflated two different positions, which were the recreational facility maintenance specialist and the facilities maintenance specialist. So those are two discrete job descriptions and specific have different specific job duties. And so the intent is for those to be broken back out. So just kind of an error. And when we correct, when we structured the union wage and grade table, this last negotiations, this is breaking it back out.
Okay. Any questions, comments, assembly? All right. Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Odison?
Yes.
Davenport?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item D, ordinance number 1067 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending chapter 5.8 sales tax and section 5.08.060 tax-free days of the Wrangell Municipal Code to provide that the Assembly may approve one sales tax free day each fiscal year.
Move to approve the first reading of ordinance number 1067. Move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on October 22nd, 2024.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Odison. Administrative report on this.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this item is being brought to the Assembly from previous discussions with the Assembly about tax-free days. Was the desire in previous minutes to bring it down to one day, just because of the impacts it has on our tax revenue. Obviously, sales tax-free day inspires a higher volume of commerce to take place, and that's a good thing for our businesses, but having two may have been overkill from the Assembly perspective, and so this is being brought forward. If we look at FY24 sales tax figures, it was $3.765 million. Which is, you know, above from budgeted $3.625 million, but below, significantly below, $4 million mark from FY23. Now there's some differences in those returns, and I'm going to speak to why this is relevant here. The $250,000 margin, about 100 of that was due to a sales tax lien from 2006 that we realized in 23 for the Waterfront Bar and Grill. So you guys might remember that. So there's 100,000 of it. The rest probably related to underlying spending down overall. And so I say that because we've received, you know, a 6.9% reduction from the prior period. About half of that's related to underlying activity. If you take that $3.7 million and divide it by 365 days in a year, you get about $10,000 every day. You know, it's our estimate that there's 2 to 3 times the amount of spending that happens on sales tax-free than any other day, and that could be low. But, you know, if you take $30,000 in sales tax revenue and divide it by 7%, which is the minimum amount of sales we'd have to earn $30,000, it's $428,000. Okay. So is our community really spending $428,000 in sales tax per day? Not positive, but it seems between 20 and 30 is realistic, and that's why what I think a day is worth. You know, I think as we talk about sales tax-free days, there can be other parameters that we require businesses, if they want to participate in this, to track it so we can make educated decisions on what an actual date costs us. But that can be deliberated at a different point. So this ordinance basically redrafts the sales tax free day to one, and it may be one. Right now it's maybe two, maybe zero. Right now we can approve as up to two or as little as we want. This would reduce it to no more than one, and don't have any other comments at that point.
Okay, and you're bringing this to us because during our budget sessions, we did discuss about reconsidering reducing that number. I'd like to point out to the assembly that I believe we can achieve the same thing and give leeway to future assemblies because we don't know what the future economic situation will be. We can't control local, and we certainly can't control national or global. But there is a way to amend the current code for tax-free days, because if you look on page 64, it says on the declaration that there may be two tax-free days, which implies that there could be zero, there could be one, or there could be two. Mm-hmm. But the problem that I've always had with this code, and I expressed my consternation with a previous borough manager, Lisa Von Bargen. If you look in the body of the code, if you look, assembly, on the next page, B1 and B2, they constantly refer to two tax-free days, and so they negate the first statement, mm-hmm. that may be two. So I think if we pump this back to the code committee that Morrison and I sit on along with the borough clerk, we can fix this and give the assemblies the option of determining this, one, two, or zero tax-free days for the future fiscal year is what I'm suggesting. So you can make a determination at that time. And the reason why this is critical, you all know that 20% of our sales tax revenue goes directly to our schools. And that covers above the minimum required contribution required by the state. And then we have to make up the rest, and usually out of SRS funds, which are also being used for many other purposes, mm-hmm. for the school. So we're kind of getting into a crunch here. So I like the idea of us being very fiscally responsible with these tax-free days, but I also like the idea of the increase in commerce that our businesses hopefully experience. So what do you think? Reducing it to a static one day, tax-free day a year, or to amend, and we almost have it written between the borough clerk and myself, the code, amending this current code. Vice Mayor Powell.
Well, I agree and I disagree.
Okay.
Because in the code, it just says that we can have zero, one, or two. And when you go down and you read this, it says two because we have to. Okay? So it's not... I mean, that's the declaration of tax-free days. There may be two tax-free days. But in our code above, it says we can amend that and do what we really want to do. And any assembly, even future assemblies, could do the same thing. So I don't know why we turn this back to a new code, just because on the lower part of it, it talks about two, because we have to now.
But it shouldn't be that way.
Well, why not? Because we have two right now, so we have to talk about two. And it has to be in here as we say two. Now, if we amend this and we say we're going to have one or zero, then you would amend that section, 5.80 tax-free days, as day or zero.
Correct? No, I've already got it figured out. You amend 2 days to say day, parenthesis, parenthesis. You take the two out.
Clarifies it.
I understand that, but what I don't understand is why. Because it's in our the upper part of it where you actually said in the upper part, it talks about somebody may approve one sales tax free day each fiscal year. It says that up there. To be obtained, blah, 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 the TURL, you can have sales tax free days of the Rangel Municipal Code. And that also has section 5.08.060, right? Okay, and then you amendment table chapter sales tax is amended as follows. And then it goes down and it talks about two because we have two. See it? Do you see where I'm going with this? What? If we amend it to one right now, you would take that out and amend it to one or zero. Why would you amend the upper part? Because the lower part is because of the upper part.
Am I correct? No. The upper part, gives us... I have a head cold, so I have an excuse.
But am I correct?
You are correct, because if the assembly does not approve those requested days, mm-hmm. then the lower part doesn't matter.
Exactly.
But I think the reason why this was being brought forward was for clarification, mm-hmm. just so that it was very clear that the assembly may deny, because that's not in here. Because it does say right now in the code, without doing any amendments, declaration of tax-free days, there may be two tax-free days declared each calendar year for Rangel.
Right.
And below is all of the rules and regulations for it.
I know, but it bugs the daylights out of me because it talks about two, it twice in the body of the code. And it should not refer to any numerical amount because it's up for grabs.
I'm good either way. I'm good either way. It's just that I'm kind of confused why we have the top part of the code and then we talk about two. And I just assumed that we when I read this, we're talking about two because we have two. And I thought that if we vote this to say one, then you're just going to rewrite that section and now we have one. And if we vote zero, you're going to rewrite that and say zero.
Oh, no. We won't, hopefully won't change this way.
No, I'm talking about the body of it down below, not the actual code. Because the actual ordinance tells us that we may have one tax-free day, we may have two tax-free days here. Okay. This is part of amendments and sections of tax-free day. See what I'm saying?
No, Mayor.
I kind of understand what he's saying.
Oh, no.
But no, I don't agree. Not really. All you have
don't
to do is
go to the other
out.
Side.
All you have to do is
stay away from the light.
All you have to do is take out two for the designated tax free date. That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
And then it clarifies it. Well, then what are we fighting about?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering why, if we pass this, why you just can't do that? Rather than have to put it back and do it now.
Well,
because what if we don't pass this? Then it's just going to stay the same. Am I correct?
If you don't pass it, it just stays the same.
Exactly.
Right. Except I will want to amend it. Yeah. But, you understand what I'm saying, assembly to board.
Here's my comprehension. If we change it to one, we're stuck with one.
Exactly.
If we stay with what we've got, what we have done is at a later time, we could come into a meeting and say, we're designating May whatever and October whatever. So when we come back for that meeting in the future, if we leave it alone, we could just say, okay, we're doing one in May, and that's it. Or we're doing zero, and that's it. So I get the intention of this, but I think it's making it a little bit more murky to me. Than just leaving it alone, and when that comes up in the future, we have the discussion then. It's zero, one, or two, and that gives more flexibility in future years. Could be zero, could go back to two.
Right. Ideally, we should do it at budget time.
Okay.
Because we'll know, we'll have a really good idea of four quarters of sales tax. We'll notice the trend from the third quarter to the fourth quarter. And we can make a determination on how much revenue, because the city is losing revenue on this.
And
I wanted that to be also embedded in my new improved version of the code.
I guess my hesitation is I don't want to lock us in if we currently have the option to do zero, one, or two.
Right.
So.
And if we defeat this and direct modification of the current code, we can achieve that. Mm-hmm. Assemblymember Robbins?
What I'm gathering, Madam Mayor, is that you want it to stay as it is, or, you know, no. How it's reading, any 012 or whatever we vote for, but that the writing be changed.
Yes.
And then
right.
That come back to us to be approved
right.
As this is what the code reads, that we don't have two, the number two in any of the body whatsoever, regardless mm-hmm. of what we decide. Whatever we're doing, whether it's 0, 1, or 2 days, that's not specified in the body.
Correct. Because to me, it's disjointed. Mm-hmm. It's, and then also to embed a time. When are we going to make the decision? Okay. And just for the public, the dates are requested by the Chamber of Commerce and our borough clerk. Make sure that she gets those dates. And I think if during budget time, we could make a better decision on what we want to do. Vice Mayor Powell.
I agree with the budget time, but the problem with it is, if you wait for budget time, you're going to hit, this is going to stay the same for the next tax-free day. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? We need to make a decision before the next tax-free day, whether we're going to have one or two, because maybe the chamber will put out a flyer saying, when would you like to have your tax-free day if
yeah.
we only give one? So doing it at budget time, we're going to be stuck with this as two.
Well, I know.
Am I correct?
Yeah, and Borough Clerk Lane brought up the same thing.
Well, because what will happen is that if we wait till like April, say, to review it when we know more closely what our budget goals are, that doesn't give the businesses enough time in May to prepare. If they're going to stay with May. And I don't want to send them something that says, hey, just a heads up, we may do this.
Right.
Because I can't speak for the assembly since there's the provision in the code that it could allow for it.
Okay, so for my idea to work, we need a time certain where the assembly will know future revenues or the trend of sales tax revenues. So when do you suggest we put a time limit on this? Or
well, I think there's a couple of solutions, Madam Mayor. I think you can do it through like middle of the year, so after the January 31st remittances, you could probably do it in February. That might get enough time. The other thing I think that we should put a wrinkle in it, hopefully, is we don't want sales tax free days. I don't want to speak for the chamber and the community, but we probably don't want them during cruise ship season. We don't want outsiders to take advantage of our sales tax free day. We want it to be the locals, right?
Right.
So if you do it for the budget season, you're gonna have a summer. I even think the May sales tax free day is too close to the summer that it's probably not beneficial to just explicitly locals. October definitely. Although I've gotten a lot of requests that we shouldn't have it during moose season.
Right.
So.
I know.
I can speak to that as a chamber. The idea is that it's around the time that people are getting their taxes back. When they're getting checks, when they're getting it mailed, so like they don't get it direct deposit, it comes around April, May, and then dividend time.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
really
yeah.
the basis of the dates that are given by the chamber.
Okay, and Vice Mayor Powell.
And that's you're correct, because nine, 10 years ago when we were talking about tax, or 9 years ago when we were talking about tax-free day, the May one was because of that, because your tax is back and you have, Normally, at that time of year, fishermen are starting to get geared up, and they can go and have a good deal to get their boats ready to go and that kind of stuff. And I'm talking commercial fishermen.
And Mother's Day.
And I mean, that's why, if I had my boat on it, which I don't on when it is, it would be the early one rather than the late one. And as a business owner, our early one is way more busy than the late one. The October one's hardly, it's okay, but it's nothing like the early one.
The one in April?
Yes.
Yeah.
May, April, or May, whenever they have it. I think it was May 5th last year.
Mm-hmm.
It? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so Assembly Member DeBoard.
This is a question since we're on this. So, and I've had a couple people ask me about this, and I don't know, Mason, this is probably more a question for you, but since it is tax-free day, but then there's not really tax-free on like Amazon, eBay, Walmart.com, is there an avenue for people to like get their money back on that day? Is it just, so it's just, so it's tax-free day, but it's really only tax-free within town.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that,
shopping.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and 30 years ago, Amazon didn't exist. So,
right.
I mean,
yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But that's just something that's
but
been brought
you
up.
Bring up something I also thought about. It should say local.
Yeah.
You know, it says retail sales, but maybe we should insert the word local retail sales. Okay. I'm happy. I think I'm getting my way.
Okay. So, verification is if we say no to this, we're just going to, you're going to rewrite it.
Right.
And bring it back.
Right.
Okay.
We'll get together in the code review committee and rewrite it like the mayor wants it. And then,
and then we get to pick it apart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
I think it's just more for clarification and more open, for it to be more open instead of very...
More logical.
Exactly.
More
You're
logical.
Exactly right.
Yes.
Yes. Logical.
Okay, so we're fixing to vote this down with the... we don't need to have an amendment to bring it back.
No.
Yeah, okay. Ooh. Everybody understand?
Is that right, though? If we vote this down, it can come back in two meetings?
Yeah,
right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
all right.
This is all messed up. It only limits us to one.
Hello?
Okay.
I'll
have you know,
Kim. It only limits us to one.
Okay.
Until we change it. All right. Everybody understand? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly member Scowerville?
No.
Cal?
No.
Gabor?
No.
Robin?
No.
Morrison?
No.
Lawson?
No.
No. No. All right. Thank you. Item E, approval of modification 1 to the Trident Seafoods Incorporated Old Mill Dock lease to extend the lease term.
Move to approve the first modification of facility lease agreement to Trident Seafoods Incorporated for a one-year extension for a portion of the Old Mill Dock and parcel 02-023-700, more specifically 20 foot by 90 foot northwest from the southernmost portion Old Mill Dock, including the approach nearest the Trident Seafood plant.
Second.
Okay, so motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Report on this, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is a fairly simple housekeeping item. It's an extension of an existing lease that we hold with Trident Seafoods. It's the southernmost portion of the mill dock facility that they utilize often to tie up their tenders and mainly that function. And so they're going to continue to want that through October 1st, 2025. So this is just another extension of that existing lease.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions, comments? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Lawson?
Yes.
Darrenville?
Yes.
Ford?
Yes.
And
yes. The attorney's file is available for your review in the borough clerk's office. We will adjourn 1 hour past my predicted time at 7:44 p.m.